The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So, we have an agreement between the European Union and the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, which is a bit different from what Theresa May had agreed before. And Boris Johnson is bringing it back to the Houses of Parliament to try and get it voted through. And he seems to be saying it has to be this, there's no other possibility available. And he seems to be getting some support from Claude Juncker, Jean-Claude Juncker in the European Commission, suggesting, well, if this doesn't get through, there's going to be no extension to the Brexit departure date. Gavin Essler, you're our first guest, former presenter of BBC Newsnight, author of Brexit Without the Bullshit. What are the chances of Boris Johnson succeeding in persuading Parliament on Saturday to back this deal?
Well, it's going to be very difficult. I mean, obviously, he's saying it's my way or nothing or no deal. And he has got such a big persuading job to do. It's not just the DUP. It seems that he may have united most of the Labour Party, which is a miracle in itself. But I was very interested in hearing what Ian Blackford from the SNP had to say. He said that this deal would leave Scotland as the only part of the UK being taken out of the EU single market and customs union without consent and no say. So what will start to occur to people as they think about this over the next couple of days, and has already occurred to the DUP, taking back control appears to be the beginning of the unwinding of the United Kingdom, at least as far as the SNP are concerned, and that's exactly what the DUP are worried about. So it is, you're right, it's not quite Theresa May's deal, but it will be seen by unionists of different stripes as worse.
Actually, as you mentioned the SNP, I wasn't going to play it now, but I will do it because I have Nicola Sturgeon, what she had to say today as to why the SNP will be voting against the deal.
The SNP will not vote for this deal because it's a bad deal for Scotland, worse even than the one Theresa May tried to get through the House of Commons. In fact, it's hard to imagine a deal that could be worse from the perspective of Scotland's interests. It takes us, or would take us, out of the EU single market customs union against our will. The prospect of a much harder Brexit after a transition period is definitely there, and it would place us at a competitive disadvantage with Northern Ireland and leave us as the only part of the UK with no say over our relationship with Europe. England and Wales voted to leave. Northern Ireland, like Scotland, voted to remain, but it's being offered arrangements to give it a say over its future relationship with Europe. Scotland would be left with no say and no respect for how we voted. SNP MPs cannot vote for that and will not vote for that because our job is to stand up for Scotland's interests, not sell them down the river.
Professor Aoife O'Donoghue is with us as well, Professor of International Law and Global Governance in Durham Law School. Because there are people who are suggesting, whatever about Scotland, that even if this has a special arrangement for Northern Ireland, that this deal, even for Northern Ireland, isn't as good as the one that the DUP rejected when Theresa May offered to them.
I think so, yeah. It would be good for Northern Ireland with regard to manufacturing industry, because if good is manufactured in Northern Ireland, it will have free access basically to the European Union, which a product in Britain wouldn't have. So it does give Northern Ireland some advantages in a manufacturing perspective and in agriculture as well in comparison to the rest of Britain. So on that side, that's quite positive. But with regards to from the DUP's perspective about tying it into the European or into the United Kingdom, yes, it is. It is a worse deal in that Northern Ireland is quite separate now in the way that they were since before the joint report have been arguing against. We're kind of going back to a pre-joint report when it was just the Northern Ireland backstop, then it was a UK-wide backstop, and now we're back to the Northern Ireland backstop. So if you're in business in Northern Ireland or you're a farmer, it's probably a win. But with regard to the future political nature, as Gavin was saying, yes, I think it could be quite problematic.
Let's hear what Taoiseach of Riail Faradkar had to say today about the question of the backstop being abolished.
Yeah, well, the backstop has been replaced. It's been replaced with a new solution, a unique solution for Northern Ireland, recognising its unique history and geography. But that new solution does what we needed to do, avoids a hard border between North and South, protects the all-island economy, protects the single market and our place in it, and also, crucially, and we were happy to accept this, takes account of the democratic wishes of the people of Northern Ireland, because we've always expressed the view and said that we would never seek to hold Northern Ireland in an arrangement long-term against the will of the majority of people there.
Okay, Aoife Donoghue, he has to try and sell this as a victory, but is it not just a partial victory for Ireland in that Theresa May's deal was way better when it came to allowing trade between these two islands, and what we now have is a border down the Irish Sea, which under Theresa May's deal we wouldn't have?
Well, I think it depends, again, on how you define what the victory is. So if you're just focusing on north-south trade, yes, it is. On the east-west front, that was really, in the May deal, that was mainly focused on Northern Ireland. There were still going to be differences between trading between the Republic and Britain. So I don't think it's necessarily a good, better or worse with regard to trade between Ireland and Britain, but certainly it is better with regard to Northern Ireland and the Republic. Where it will become more difficult is the level playing field elements have gone out of the withdrawal agreement and are now just in the political declaration. So doing business with regard to Britain will be a bit harder, potentially, though it does mean, again, it would give, in the long term, maybe an economic advantage to Ireland, and that will be the entry point to the European Union, whereas under the Theresa May deal, the United Kingdom more or less still was that entry point into the European Union, whereas now it default becomes Ireland as the English-speaking, and Malta become the English-speaking entry to the European Union. So depending on how you define the victory, really, I think depends on the answer.
And just before I go back to Gavin, a listener wants to know, why did the EU give ground when it previously said it would not?
Well, it hasn't given a massive round of ground. I mean, this always happens. It's compromise. I mean, they haven't really opened up the withdrawal agreement. They've gotten the United Kingdom to agree to a huge amount. As much as they keep saying it's not called the backstop, it is more or less the backstop with added consent. So it is with added democratic consent, very different to the DUP veto that was proposed last week. So in lots of ways, actually, Boris Johnson has rolled back. So Johnson has rolled back far more, in fact, than the European Union has come to meet him. So while they are painting a picture of a victory for London, it actually is a huge rollback from what they presented just a week and a half ago.
Well, before I go back to Gavin, let's just hear what Boris Johnson had to say in welcoming the deal.
I do think that this deal represents a very good deal, both for the EU and for the UK. And it's a reasonable, fair outcome and reflects the large amount of work that's been undertaken by both sides. And I agree very much, Jean-Claude, with what you said about protecting the peace process in the island of Ireland and in Northern Ireland. And, of course, for us in the UK, it means that we can deliver a real Brexit that achieves our objectives. And it means that the UK leaves whole and entire on October the 31st. And it means that Northern Ireland and every other part of the UK can take part not just in free trade deals, offering our tariffs, exporting our goods around the world, but it also means that we can take together as a single United Kingdom decisions about our future, about our laws, our borders, our money, and how we want to run the UK. And those decisions will be taken in the UK by elected representatives of the people of the UK. And I hope very much now, speaking of elected representatives, that my fellow MPs in Westminster do now come together to get Brexit done, to get this excellent deal over the line and to deliver Brexit without any more delay, so that we can focus on the priorities of the British people, improving our health service, investing in 20,000 more police, lifting up the living wage, and many, many other things.
Just remember to get all those things in at the end of the start of his election campaign, it seems. Gavin Esler, though, this effectively is a slight modification on the Theresa May deal, but it's so complicated, he's likely to be able to pull it off, isn't he, selling it to the British people, that he's managed to do a deal that Theresa May couldn't.
Well, some people will fall for that, but also, Matt, you know, I was listening to that Boris Johnson, and I was just thinking of another fellow who is called Boris Johnson, who a year ago at the DUP conference said that this kind of deal would create for Northern Ireland a situation where it would be an economic semi-colony of the EU. No British Conservative government could or should sign up to any such arrangement, which this other Boris Johnson that we've uncovered today seems to be signing up to. So I wouldn't like to try and sell this in County Antrim, frankly, knocking on doors in Randallstown and Ballymena or Larne. I think that would be a bit tricky. And what we also know is that Parliament have secured today the possibility that they can amend anything that Mr. Johnson brings forward in this emergency session on Saturday. So you're right, he will do this. He will try to sell it because he is the salesman. But again, as we've reflected, he just changes his mind. He is not only moved back on Theresa May's deal, he's moved back on his own words.
Yeah.
And I know some people don't care, but I think other people in Parliament will notice.
Yeah, but James in Sligo says this is a win-win for Boris Johnson. If he gets the deal through, he will be seen as the Prime Minister who got the UK out of the EU with a deal. If he fails, he will say that the UK has to leave on the 31st of October because Jean-Claude Juncker says so. Could it be that he actually is in a win-win situation, that he doesn't really care too much if the deal is rejected by Parliament, because that will give him his excuse to go for a general election, setting people against the Parliament?
Well, that's possible, but I think it's also likely that if the deal is amended with the insistence by Parliament, which seems to be gaining ground, that there should be a confirmatory referendum, I think it would be very, very difficult for Jean-Claude Juncker to stand up to the other 27 EU leaders, including Mr. Varadkar, and say, oh, well, just let's kick him out anyway. Don't let the people have a say. That would be very, very difficult, it seems to me. So the game is far from over, I'm afraid. And we will see what comes out in Parliament on Saturday.
Well, indeed. And just before I ask you about the numbers, let's hear a little bit of Jeremy Corbyn saying that the Labour Party won't be supporting the deal.
This is a day when the Prime Minister seems to have made a deal with the European Union, which doesn't give us the complete freedom of movement between Britain and Northern Ireland, because it creates a customs union border down the Irish Sea. And secondly, it does nothing to deal with all the concerns that we've raised during Theresa May's premiership and his about a race to the bottom in rights and protections. And we believe the deal he's proposed is heading Britain in the direction of a deregulated society with a sell-off of national assets to American corporations. So as it stands, we cannot support this deal and will oppose it in Parliament on Saturday. And it also is unclear if he has the support of his allies in the DUP or indeed many of his allies on his own backbenches.
OK, does it look so, Gavin Esther, to conclude, like the majority of the Labour Party will vote against, the SNP will vote against, the DUP will vote against? What about all the Tories that Boris Johnson threw out of the party? Will they come back on side with him, or could he discover that by alienating them, he'll end up losing this vote?
It could be that some will come back on side. And of course, we don't actually know what the ERG, the European Research Group, as they call themselves, although they, as we know, they don't do a huge amount of research, but they have been very close to the DUP. And we're still not absolutely clear what they will do. So remember, this is a minority government. Boris Johnson is hanging on by the fingernails, and the fingernails include those of the DUP, which is a very awkward position for him to be having a grip on power. What he could do, there are many things he could do. One thing is he could stage a vote of no confidence in his own government. There's all kinds of machinery and mechanisms that could go ahead. But also, there's the Benn Act, which says that if we don't have a deal agreed by Parliament, you have to seek an extension. And as I say, whatever Jean-Claude Juncker says, you have to take it on board. But I can't see the EU at this stage saying you can't have an extension if you've got a reason for it, as in a confirmatory referendum.
Gavin Esther, thank you for joining us. Professor Aoife O'Donoghue had been with us as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.